How Severus Stole Christmas by Elizabeth. Read by Dark Lotus 1211. Every child at Hogwarts liked Christmas a lot, but the headmaster who ruled all of Hogwarts did not. Severus hated Christmas the entire Yule season. Please don't ask why, no wizard quite knows the reason. It could be his father had abused him at night. It could be Lily never forgot their big fight, but I think that the most likely reason of all may have been Miss Granger, or Miss Knew-It-All. But whatever his reason, lost love or lost anger, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating Miss Granger. He glared down the table where she listed her plans with a group gathered round her, who were all big fans. He knew they were arranging the festivities, yet all were ignoring their important studies. "And they're discussing garlands," he snarled with a sneer. "Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here." Then he growled, with his cold fingers angrily drumming, "I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming." For tomorrow, he knew, all the students and teachers as well would wake bright and early. They'd celebrate Noel. And then the bombshell. Oh, the bells, smells, yells, spells. That's one thing he hated. The bells, smells, yells, spells. Then the staff and the students would sit down to feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast. Feast, feast, feast. They would feast on chipolatas and Christmas pudding, which was something that would get Severus balking. They'd stand around the Christmas tree and start caroling. They would giggle with glee, then break into dancing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more Snape thought of this Granger-induced sing, the more that Snape thought, "I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 48 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how?" Then he got an idea. An awful idea. Severus got a wonderful, awful idea. "I know just what to do," Severus laughed with a choke. He left the great hall with a swirl of his cloak, and he chuckled and clucked. "What a great Snapish trick! I'll destroy all her plans with my expert magic." "I'll wait until nightfall," he leered as he spake. "I'll sneak round the castle, chaos in my wake, and to stop all her foolishness I'll make her heart break. No, she can't be allowed to continue her prancing," he bitterly vowed. His wand at the ready, he stood there endowed. Already in black, he was dressed in a shroud. Then he crept out of his office. The halls were all dark, the portraits asleep, as he made his embark. The great hall, then the kitchen, the band, then the choir, the man on a mission, they'd all feel his ire. The great hall was dark, the enchanted snow fell, and he charmed it away as he jeered a farewell. Then he burned the spruce trees black as an inkwell. The garlands of mistletoe and holly he shredded, the silver-frosted walls glistened, then melted. He traversed to the kitchens, he tickled the pear. House elves couldn't cook, or they'd get clothes to wear. He insisted they vanish the food from his sight. The poor elves gave up. As you know, they can't fight. He left through the portrait. He had places to go. And he strode through the halls, his brow in a furrow. He quietly entered each band member's chamber. He hexed their instruments during their slumber. Panpipes, accordions, mandolins, lutes, clarinets, fiddles, tubas, and flutes. All of the noisemakers that were the source of his bane, now all were useless, and would most likely remain. Then, to each in the choir, his wand at the throat, their voices would tire without singing a note. They slept through the hexing, but then they would wake. All would discover too late that no sounds would they make. Then he thought of his list, and his mind filled with glee. And now, grinned Severus, I will get Hermione. He slunk to her room, and he counted her wards. A foot in the room, a creak on floorboards. He froze for a moment, his wand at the ready. He stood still, unknowing if his heartbeat was steady. She moaned in her sleep as she tumbled about. She sat up in her bed with a bottom lip pout. She blinked up at Severus in her lacy nightwear, and he stared down his nose at her bushy brown hair. Severus, she whispered, you came for a visit. She threw off the covers, then opened her closet. "Can I help you, Professor?" she asked with a sigh. She slipped on a robe that she tied on the side. She turned round to face him, her wand in the air. He lifted his eyebrow. "Oh, she wouldn't dare!" They glared at each other. The silence grew thick. Neither one moved their magical stick. His moment had come. He would just have to wait. Expelliarmus! He shouted, his voice filled with hate. She was thrown to the bed, her wand soared to his hand. Her bed was a mess. As she struggled to stand, he decided he'd show her just what he had planned. I'm destroying your fun, he said with a snort. Everything that you've done I am going to thwart. Then he turned on his heels, and he made his depart. She stood there a moment, then took off with a start. Off to the owlery, as the girl lagged behind, and she angrily whined, Snape, you are just so unkind! He warded the tower and banished the owls. No gifts and no presents, just fury and scowls. He left her standing on the litter-strewn floor. She glared at the man who'd once been her mentor. She sprinted after him in her frilly-fringed robe. "Why do you hate Christmas?" she asked as a probe. He said, "It's not Christmas so much, but what you do." Her mouth then hung open for a minute or two. She thought she knew, then broke into song to construe. You're a mean one, Severus Snape. You really are a beast. You're as snuggly as a viper. You're a stuck-up chauvinist, Severus Snape. You're a dour man whose attitude is calloused. You're displeasing, Severus Snape. You're something horrible. Your manner is quite shocking, and your temper's terrible, Severus Snape. I wouldn't waste pity on someone so insufferable. You are ghastly, Severus Snape. You have poison in your soul. You have all the lovely features of a smelly mountain troll, Severus Snape. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the smelly mountain troll. You're unpleasant. Severus Snape, you make all your victims cower. Your heart is full of beetle eyes. Your talent is to glower, Severus Snape. The three words that best describe you are, and I quote, dire, dark, dull. You're a monster, Severus Snape. You're the prince that is half-blood. Your heart's a heap of rancid mud with noxious chewed-up cud, Severus Snape. Your soul is a stinking rubbish bin, lacking all the virtues of a civilized wizard who cannot comprehend the meaning of peace and sneering at anything good. You disgust me, Severus Snape, with an odious super smell. You're a bat within the dungeons. You make life a living hell, Severus Snape. You're a three-decker, blast-ended scroot sandwich with asphodel gel. That's a song, grinned Severus. That is, quite simply, me. Breakfast time neared. To the great hall he walked briskly. He wanted to see all their smiles erase. He walked right in with a grin on his face. The students ran to her, and she ushered them near. She grabbed back her wand, and she let them all hear. Please tell all men that peace is good. That's all that need be understood. They looked quite uncertain, wondering all as they stood. Then they joined hand in hand and restarted the mood. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And Severus, with his smile wiped clean in a flash, stood puzzling and puzzling as he stood in spruce ash. It came without singing. It came without crackers. It came without music or presents in wrappers. And he puzzled 3 hours with his brow in a crease. Then Severus thought about her discussion on peace. Maybe Christmas, he thought, isn't about gifting crease. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means love will not cease. And what happened then? Well, at Hogwarts they say that the love in his heart for her grew there to stay. He undid his magic with a smile full of teeth. He grabbed his Hermione with her smelling like heath, and he spun her around until they both stood beneath. And he himself, kissed Granger under the mistletoe wreath.